Still no FPL, but plenty to talk about. Jules brings us up to speed with internationals. We analyse fixture tickers and discuss the teams with something to play for. And we run through a potential wildcard. And no, I still haven't pressed the button. Nope, there's still no Premier League or FPL deadline this week, but there is still an FPL pod. As promised, we're back once again to keep you kind of busy and keep you interested and keep you planning those FPL teams as we await the return of the Premier League, which is still just over a week away. But Sam and Jules back here with me. Nice international break, Sam. Nice Spurs-free one.
Yeah, no football has ruined it. Well, England tried their best, but yeah, no stress of Premier League relegation and battle for survival and all that jazz. So yeah, it's actually been quite nice. I've baked bread and gone on bike rides. It's been really pleasant.
Oh, so wholesome. Of course, Spurs have kept you ticking over with more news, of course. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point. Jules, lots of football, I'm guessing, still for you.
Loads of football, including the Women's Champions League as well.
I did that last night.
Yeah, I'm doing that tonight. So and last week. So yeah, so it's been very busy, but it's all good, you know, when we have so much football.
But let's be honest, the real fun isn't back until the Premier League returns, is it? So yeah. Jules, just fill us in with what's been happening in terms of what we should know with our FPL teams. Any big headlines? Because I know with England, there was a lot of injury dropouts, so we don't know how kind of serious those injuries are.
Yeah, you're right. And we'll have to wait a little bit more to hear from some of those managers, by the way, of your Premier League clubs, if you're thinking or looking for more information on a player's injury or not. Loads of things happen, obviously. And you mentioned England, Kells, two not very good games against Uruguay and Japan. A lot of different players playing, and we didn't see Saka or Rice, for example, who apparently were not fit enough to play only the second game. They were due to play the second game. They were not. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. For the rest, we saw Phil Foden not being very good. We saw Cole Palmer not being very good either. We saw pretty much a few minutes for everybody. Madueke picked up an injury in the first minute. But if your player has been called up by Tuchel, he was not the ones I mentioned, he will have a bit of minutes. Maguire did really well over the two games, for example. He's probably the only one to have done actually quite well in those two games. For the rest, there's loads of things happening, from Gyökeres' hat-trick for Sweden and then scoring the winning goals in their World Cup qualifier, like what kind of playoff final, if you want. Calafiori and Tonali being knocked out by Bosnia and not going to the World Cup, but despite that, playing really well for Italy. We saw very good Florian Wirtz with Germany against Switzerland, 2 goals, 2 assists for him. Kai Havertz started the 2 Germany games, that one against Switzerland and also the one against Ghana, like Nick Voltemade, by the way. Bruno Fernandes started twice and played 81 and 85 minutes for Portugal, did really good against Mexico, and then 2 passes against the US. We saw Dalot and Mateus Nunes as well, playing 1 half each in those 2 games for Portugal. Hugo Ekitike was very good for France against Brazil in the first game, scored a lovely goal, and then played the last 20 minutes against Colombia and did really well as well. Konate and Gusto also played that first game. João Pedro was on the bench for the first game for Brazil against France, but started the second game against Croatia. Didn't score, but Igor Thiago, who came on twice in those 2 games, scored his first goal for Brazil, a penalty late in that win against Croatia. And Gabi Martinelli also scored there for Brazil. Cunha started both games, like Casemiro. Both of them were not that good, I thought. And then we had a Senesi-Romero partnership starting for Argentina in the games against Mauritania. Enzo Fernandez scored, McAllister played as well. And then both of McAllister and Enzo also started the second game against Zambia, like Romero, who played 90 minutes quasi, almost twice, I think, in those 2 games. So a lot of football for Kuti Romero.
Very good, as always, keeping across absolutely everything. Yeah, a reminder that there is FA Cup action this weekend as well. So where Jules has mentioned hearing from managers, we're going to hear from certain managers, like we're going to hear from Pep, we're going to hear from Mikel Arteta, we're going to hear from Liam Rossini, and we're going to hear from both the West Ham and Leeds bosses as well. So we're going to hear from a few Premier League managers and we'll know a little bit more. But we're going to talk about what the FA Cup does for us in terms of FPL next week. And of course, we've got the European matches next week as well. So we'll have plenty more to discuss next Thursday. So for today's pod, we're just going to focus on the run-in as a whole and use the information that we have at this present point to help us prepare for Game Week 32 and beyond. So before we take a look at the fixture runs and how we might might use our chips to kind of attack those best. Just a quick word, Sam, as promised, on the managerial change at Spurs. Someone that we've seen at Brighton in the past has returned to the Premier League, Roberto De Zerbi, on a very long-term deal. He's committed regardless of the outcome, but ultimately we only care as FPL managers, I know you don't, about the next few weeks. So does this change anything when it comes to FPL? Because as an FPL manager, I'm not inclined to target a team in a relegation battle. Am I wrong?
Well, we'll get to that a little bit more later, because generally speaking, I do like to target teams in relegation battles because they have something to fight for. And maybe this gives Spurs a little bit of a boost heading into the final seven game weeks of the season. Goodness, I really hope it does. But he does play really attacking football. It's a really different style of football to what Spurs are used to playing, particularly this season. It's maybe a little more reminiscent of Ange ball. But even then, it's not really. It's different systems, different players that might be important in it. I think there are players that you can go to, potentially, but I think you give it a couple of weeks and see how Spurs settle in the games, particularly against Sunderland. And then, of course, our first home fixture for him is against Brighton. So that will be interesting in itself. And then we'll just see how it happens. I think part of the issue with this is that we probably will remain quite susceptible to counter-attacks, and therefore defensively maybe it's not the right way to go. But in attack, maybe that there are some assets that we'll be able to look at, but I think we have to give it at least a week or two and see how Spurs settle under the new coach and whether things get better. But Spence, Porro, maybe even Xavi in the final weeks might be interesting differentials to have a look at if Spurs settle and start playing well.
I'm absolutely not going to be foolish enough to ask Jules what he thinks of investing in Spurs, because I think I know the answer. Let's talk about fixture runs then. And a reminder, yes, I know you're going to be going, but some teams are going to have double game weeks, some teams are going to have blanks. Of course, I know we're still waiting for information on that. And as I said, once the FA Cup is played this weekend, that will help us know so much more. But ultimately, teams are still going to have to play the same fixtures that they've got to play. It just might shuffle around the order a little bit. So we're just going to review and reflect on where we're at with the fixture ticket. Actually, Leeds and Wolves are top. And Jules, I just said there that I'm not inclined to target teams in a relegation battle. I should have maybe said I'm not inclined to target teams who haven't got any form, no offence, Sam, in a relegation battle. But Spurs might get some form. They haven't got form maybe right now, but they might do. But Leeds and Wolves, obviously, I mean, Wolves aren't relegated, but they're all but relegated, aren't they? Leeds still have plenty to fight for. So would they be teams that, particularly if you're on a wild card, would you look for any differentials in there?
I think it's a good question, really, because you can look at it on one side and say, well, they haven't been very good this season, which is true. That's why they are where they are, just 4 points above West Ham and the drop zone, really. So on that point, you think, well, hang on, they don't really have any informed players, otherwise they would not be there. They haven't been on a great winning run, for example, otherwise they would not be there. So all of that, which I think is absolutely fair, I would not go there, for example, as you know, but others, and like Sam said, why not? Because at least you know that they have to fight, they have to try to raise their game every single weekend to stay up, all of that. And that's very important, even for our game. If you look at Leeds, for example, I mean, the most obvious one has to be still Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Kels, I don't know if you still have him, but you had him for a while. We all had him at some point. He had this incredible goal scoring run that I think he scored for 6 or 7 games in a row, something like that. Things have dried out since, because he hasn't scored in 5, despite some chances. He had an England call-up and he had an England cap, which I think would give him, or should give him, a massive, massive boost, because Leeds won't stay up if they don't score goals anyway. So they need to rely on him, and he has to deliver. He has to play well. So that, you could look at that and great. You could look at someone like Stack, for example, who is very cheap at 4.8, who is very cheap, also owned by only 4.8% of the managers. Sorry, I think he costs you 4.8. He's owned by less than 3%. So there's a great differential there. He gets bonus points. He gets DEFCON points. And he has 122 points already, which for a player like him, I think is really, really interesting. So there are a few profiles that you could look at. My issue is that Leeds haven't been very good, even if they got a few points there and there, getting a draw and grind out results. This is all great. But for our game, I'm not sure that moves the needle much.
Sam?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I agree with everything Jules just said, but I also think that sometimes when you're looking for players for the end of the season, you have to kind of target in on teams that have got good fixtures, that have got the potential to have something that they've got to keep playing for. And so players like Stack, like DCL, if you look at just 2026 so far, then Stroik and Justin are their top scoring FPL players. They've got 53 points each, which when you look at that in conjunction with the rest of the Premier League, sits them 26th and 27th, which isn't terrible, actually, given the form that Leeds have been in. So I think there's a few options there. The good thing about them is they're really nice and cheap. So if you do want to go into the final weeks of the season and you still feel like you won't have Haaland in there because there's going to be some doubles for Man City, which obviously we'll know a little bit more about later on before our next pod, probably. Maybe you want to take some punts on players like Cole Palmer because of the World Cup coming up, or you want Bruno Fernandes, and you maybe, I don't know, maybe you want to be, reminisce on good times and have Salah back for the last few weeks before he leaves the season. Then players from Leeds wouldn't necessarily be a terrible option. I don't think you would go for more than one. It's just one. And then you have them there and they can go on the bench and they look like they've got decent fixtures, particularly in the bench boost weeks. And I think that's really important because with your Leeds asset, because of their price point, you probably are having them either with Dominic Calvert-Lewin as your third striker or as your fifth midfielder with somebody like Stack. So look at them in terms of bench boost potential. And if it works in the week that you're planning to hit that chip, then maybe they're a decent enough option.
Okay, maybe the team that are third on the fixture ticker is a bit of an easier sell in terms of trying to persuade us if we need their players. Arsenal, now they are through in Europe, but they're still in the FA Cup as well. So they look likely to have a blank and a double. We're going to know more after the FA Cup this weekend. They play Southampton on Saturday night. But where are we at with how we feel about Arsenal, Jules? Because as I said then, there was a lot of pullouts from England duty, and a lot of those were Arsenal players. You already mentioned Declan Rice, Noni Madueke, players like that. But I'm wondering if, while it was frustrating for England and Thomas Tuchel, maybe it could, providing those injuries aren't too bad, work in our favour in terms of FPL?
Yeah, I mean, some of them would be rested if their injuries are not too serious and they'd be able to either play against Southampton on Saturday, so this weekend, and then be ready for the game against Bournemouth at the Emirates the following weekend when the Premier League comes back, for example. It's true. Calafiori, as I mentioned, played for Italy and played really well in the two games, but there was no Gabriel for Brazil. There was no Saliba for France. Julian Timber, as we know, is recovering from an injury. He might be back more for the Premier League and I think than for the FA Cup this weekend. Saka and Rice, Zubimendi also pulled out of their national team camps too because they were not fully fit or fit enough. Certainly, we saw Martinelli doing well. So I think there's a few options. Odegaard is coming back. Havertz scored on a penalty, as we mentioned earlier, and started both games for Germany. So there will be a few options. Eze has that injury. I don't think he'd be back, certainly not for the FA Cup, maybe not even for the Premier League in 10 days' time. But so all of that is a bit up in the air, really. But let's say if everybody is fit, I still think that you should, for now, double up on Arsenal. They will have a blank at some point, so just be aware of that. But they will also have a double at some point. I mean the blank if they qualify in the FA Cup, obviously. There might be a blank and then a double, so you just have to manage that. And depending on the players you have and what you want to do, if there's a double at some point, then I think trebling up on them is the perfect thing to do and the right idea. If there's no double and there's no blank, to finish the season with at least two of them, I think is right as well.
Yeah, it feels like two is kind of the safe number to have. And then would you consider a triple, Sam? How are you viewing Arsenal?
I find investing in, this is a really weird statement to make, but I find knowing how to get three Arsenal players into my team challenging.
I agree.
Because they're the top goal scorers with 61 goals this season.
But who do you pick?
Exactly. Because like, do you go for Gyökeres? Do you go Saka? Do you just go back to Declan Rice, who we all had for a while? Do you go for a bit of a punt on somebody else and hope that they get enough minutes over the end of the season? Like, it feels really, really difficult to invest in the Arsenal midfield right now. So then I go back to, well, let's go to the trusty defence, because we all love investing in the Arsenal defence. So, we're all going to have Gabriel, clearly, because he's just excellent, right? He averages 7.2 points per start this season. Bonus point magnet. He's the one with the most double-digit hauls at Arsenal. He's just everything, right? So you have Gabriel, sure. You double him up with another defender, or actually is it better to double up with Raya? Because as Jules said, if they have the blank, then you've got two for the double, but you've also easily got a benchable goalkeeper. So it's much easier to manage through a blank if you double up defensively with Raya and Gabriel. But I just find picking the third much more difficult. And I think on that basis, my inclination with Arsenal is to go with the two. And then when we know if there's a double, just ahead of the double game week, pick up a third, because at that point we hopefully get a bit more understanding of who's playing, when they're playing, where they're playing. Plus you've got the Champions League fixtures that come in and around over the next couple of weeks that we need to can manage as well. So yeah, I think two, probably boringly, is probably Raya and Gabriel. And then if there's a double, you look at how to invest in a more fun way with one of the attacking assets.
I'm inclined to agree at the moment. I think I've still got a wild card, so that and it feels a bit silly not to kind of at least double up on Arsenal. I've only got Gabriel at the moment. Raya probably will be my goalkeeper just because I'm not sure where else to go. And then it does feel like once we get to the one and the double, see which attacking players kind of inform at that moment, maybe, or thinks likely to kind of play. But yeah, let's see what happens this weekend against Southampton to see who's fit. And then maybe we can go from there and review this conversation at a later point. Then after Arsenal in the fixture ticker, it's Sunderland, Brighton, Forest, Tottenham. So some quite difficult teams to know, I think, where to invest in. I think it's safe to say. The other end of the fixture ticker, Bournemouth. I mean, this isn't great for my James Hill, but the beauty of James Hill is that he's cheap, so I don't have to worry too much and he can stay on my bench. But players like Senesi, there was a little bit more interest in the kind of Tavernier. People have Krupa Jr., even Petrovic. Jules, you've still got Petrovic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Petrovic and Senesi. Yeah.
So you're doubled up on that Bournemouth defence. Is it time to sell given their fixtures? I'll just read them out to you. Arsenal away, Newcastle away, Leeds at home, Palace at home, Fulham away, Man City at home, Forest away. So I can't, it's a couple of tricky ones, but there's some all right ones in there as well, isn't there, actually?
I think the fixture ticket is great. I think it's a great tool to have. You can look forward. It gives you like short-term, mid-term, long-term. Anyway, I mean, for now, we only have 7 games left. But Bournemouth are there only because they have Arsenal and City in those last 7 games. The other 5, really, when you look at them, it's games they can easily win. And I know they don't have probably much to play for. They're not going to go down. They have maybe a tiny chance to go for Europe, right? But it's not like if they were 6 and either could go for the Champions League or the Europa League or the Conference League. But still, they might fancy that and go for it. Great. But Newcastle, they've been better than Newcastle this season. Leeds, they've been better than Leeds. They've been better than Palace. Okay, Fulham have been good and you have to go to Fulham maybe. And then it's City, right? And then it's Forest to finish the season. I know it's away from home. But I look at this and I think there could be wins there for Bournemouth and my, you know, Senesi and Petrovic boys. And if you have, I don't know, Krupa or Tavernier, Sam loves Tavernier, although she never got him, but she loves him.
We do have him.
Oh, you do have him now. Okay, fine.
I do have him. I've had him for a couple of weeks.
And he blanked for you. But still, it's a great pick.
Because he didn't take the penalty.
Yeah, I know. He didn't take the penalty. But I think there's points there for them, really. So I know they're like the bottom team in that fixture ticket, but I still fancy them to do well in those seven games, apart from maybe, Arsenal away and City at home.
It's probably quite a good point that you make there, actually, about the fixture ticker. At this stage of the season, just like one or two fixtures can really skew it, can't it? So when you're looking at it, look at what those fixtures are and just maybe, because you can think about, like, particularly with Bournemouth, you can just bench them, can't you? So yeah, just check it out, maybe on the Premier League website if you want to know a little bit more. Okay, Sam's mentioned a few times about teams with something to fight for. That's one of the criteria that we look at when we're selecting our players for the run-in. So we've kind of gone through and picked out some of the teams. I know every manager in the Premier League is going to say, we've all got something to fight for. Even Rob Edwards is going to tell me they've got something to fight for. But this is the kind of teams with something kind of tangible to fight for, shall we say. So Arsenal, Man City, of course, the title. Liverpool, Villa, Man United, Chelsea are all going for the top 4, as well as Brentford, Everton, Fulham in the race for European football. As I said before, there's probably other teams with slight shouts. The likes of Bournemouth will still kind of be hoping something can change. Then at the other end, Burnley, Wolves, West Ham, Spurs, Forest and Leeds are all trying to stay up. So it's probably a more open season than we usually have, because we probably have 14 of the 20 teams that still have something that they could still achieve at the end of the campaign. So does that just mean we ignore the other 6, the likes of Crystal Palace or the like, or does that, Sam, sometimes mean teams can play with a little bit more freedom?
Yeah, it can go one of two ways, can't it? So if you know you're safe, but you can't necessarily overachieve, i.e. you can't get into one of the European slots, then what does that mean for you? Do you play with more freedom? Do you therefore have a bit more kind of flair, creativity in your team? Maybe there's a little bit of pressure off and you just enjoy the final weeks of the season. Do we see more rotation from the managers as they try and look to do different things ahead of the new season? Because this is a perfect opportunity to maybe try new things for those managers. And we do see that sometimes, that players that we think are kind of not minute risks suddenly become so in the final weeks of the season, right at the point where we all want to use our bench boost, and it becomes really frustrating because then you're like, oh, I was expecting that player to start and then they haven't. So that is definitely something that we need to be mindful of. Normally at this point, we kind of start talking about teams that are on the beach, the ones that are kind of already looking ahead to the summer. Maybe it's a little bit different this year as well, because it's a World Cup year. And so players themselves have got a little bit that they want to play for in terms of seats on planes. And maybe that has a bit of an impact in how they play out the final weeks of the season. But for me, those 14 teams that you mentioned, they're the ones that I'm mostly focusing on, because they're the ones that I feel like I'm less likely to get major rotation from, because they should be playing their best teams, if they can, every week between now and the end of the season to try and secure whatever it is that they're fighting for.
Yeah, do you agree, Jules?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to a certain extent, especially the teams as well who are still, for example, in every competition pretty much. So you look at Liverpool and you look at Arsenal, great. Some of the players are in really good form. You want to invest in them. But at some point, those players can't play every single minute of every single game between now and the end of the season, because if Liverpool progress in the Champions League and go to the semi-final, same with Arsenal, if they also progress in the FA Cup and get to the semi-final, there's still a lot of games to be played for all of them. So at some point, you have to bear that in mind, because that might have an impact on the players that you've chosen for your FPL team that might just get a bit less time in the Premier League, because there's also a Champions League game coming up 3 or 4 days later. And we're on back-to-back Champions League quarterfinal, by the way, for Arsenal and Liverpool. So there's no rest in between. It'd be Premier League or, you know, FA Cup in this case, FA Cup, Champions League, Premier League, Champions League, Premier League again. And then if the semi-final happens for those two teams, it's again back-to-back Champions League weeks, which is a lot. And then you'll have the FA Cup to take in consideration as well. So that has to come in mind when you choose your players, because maybe instead of a Kitike, go for João Pedro, who might still be in the FA Cup, sure, and in the league, but he's not in the Champions League anymore. Whereas if Liverpool and Ekitike qualify for the semi-final of the Champions League, there's so many more games, I can guarantee you that he won't be able to play every single minute of them.
Yeah, especially with Isak coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point as well, actually. Okay, then, on the back of all of this chat, I think we've mentioned wildcards a few times. We know that I'm the only one on this podcast that still has one. So hoping that this section is going
any
to
any chance that you play him at some point, or are you just going to
waste
it?
No, I'm banking it.
Game week 38, she'll
play it. FPL have told me that I can have it, keep it for next season, Jules.
Oh, nice. I know you've got a favourite.
And then you'll still leave it till the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll bank all three wildcards up till game week 36, 7 and 8 next year. I'm waiting for the FA Cup. I wasn't a played it last week. I'm waiting for the FA Cup. I mean, I'm pushing towards a game week 35 one, but yeah, things could all change this weekend, couldn't they? Because I didn't realise, I hadn't really clocked that if, say, Arsenal lose at Southampton on Saturday night, they will then have that fixture, won't they? That last weekend of April. So I just think things can, I'm not saying that I think that Arsenal are going to lose that fixture, but yeah, there's just things that can change. So I'll review it on Sunday night, that's for sure. But anyway, as I was saying, we're just going to run through the players that we would be targeting in each position if we were activating our chip. So let's start with the goalkeepers. For me, David Raya will be the first name on my wildcard team sheet, I think. Agree, Sam?
Yeah, and I'd back him up with Darlow rather than Dubravka, just because of the fixtures that Leeds have and the fact that they're more likely to keep clean sheets than Burnley are. So yeah, they would be my goalkeeper pairing if I was on a wild card.
Who would yours be, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, I like Kelleher. We said that, I think in last week's pod, maybe the value for money in Kelleher and Roofs is still great. I agree with Sam. I think Darlow, who we saw was amazing with Wales, I know they were very unlucky to not beat Bosnia in their World Cup semi-final playoffs, but he looks in good form. I'm just not sure if he's guaranteed to play every game until between now and the end of the season. But if he is, why not? I like Kelleher a lot. And also, if you don't have the money for Raya and you need just a keeper that will cost you a little bit less, Pickford, as we said, I think a few weeks ago as well, in terms of value for money and points, he's been even better than Raya this season. So you can go for Pickford.
Yeah, Pickford's another good shout as well. Defenders then. I just want to keep James Hill because I love him. But obviously, not only because I just think he's such great value for money. But Sam, how would your defence look if you were wildcarding?
Gabriel. I would have Munoz, not just because I love him, although we all know that I do, but because we know that they have a fixture to be rescheduled. And because Crystal Palace are still in Europe, it is very likely to be a double game week for them. So I think he's a really useful pick. Plus the fixtures, they're a bit mixed, but again, they're skewed on the ticker because they've got Liverpool and Arsenal in there around that. They've got games against West Ham, Bournemouth and Everton and Brentford. So there should be some clean sheets in there, plus attacking returns. Depending upon who wins the FA Cup game, between Manchester City and Liverpool on Saturday lunchtime, Virgil or O'Reilly, because one of them will double. So I think I'd go for one or the other, depending upon what happens there. Likewise, depending upon what happens in the game between West Ham and Leeds, either Diouf or Roden probably makes sense as well, because then you are targeting in on some decent fixtures for both of those two sides. Plus, you get the benefit of having a double game week in there as well. Mm. And then the fifth one's really tough. Like, I think it's probably going to have to be somebody relatively cheap. I think it's difficult to afford the budget. Van Heck at Brighton maybe looks like a decent option given Brighton's fixtures. Plus, he's got some attacking threat, particularly from set pieces. So I think I'd be inclined to go there. You could go for one of the Manchester United defence as well, if you fancied. Not that they're keeping that many clean sheets, but they do tend to pick up the defensive contribution points. So that could be a decent option too.
Any names you'd throw in there, Jules? What would your defence look like?
I agree with Sam on a lot of them. It will depend a lot on the FA Cup. And I think if some have doubles in there, then I think, yeah, definitely target them. It'd be very interesting to see if you prefer, I don't know, let's say Gehi instead of O'Reilly. Sure, if you have that budget, why not, you know, go for that. Maybe one of the Sunderland boys, because as we said, the fixtures are decent. They don't have much to play for. They can push maybe to finish as high as possible in the table and see where that leads them. But maybe Alderete, Ballard had been injured and obviously didn't play for Northern Ireland in their World Cup playoffs, but might come back very soon. So just keep an eye on that. Especially if you haven't gone for roofs in goal, then you could go for one of the defenders at Sunderland as your fifth one and cheap one.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I think Man City are an interesting point, actually. I know we've mentioned kind of in passing, we've mentioned them, but we haven't really. The fact they're out of the Champions League, I know they're still in the FA Cup. And Sam, you made a valid point there about waiting to see what happens and whether it's Liverpool or Man City that go through in that tie. But I'm really interested in O'Reilly now, just because I feel like someone like him, he's got a lot to play for. He's going to want to end the season strongly to force his way not only into that squad, but that England starting 11 this summer. So, and the fact they're not in the Champions League, I know they've got the FA Cup, but they've only really got the title to go for. It just feels like actually this stage of the season, I'd be quite worried normally about investing in Pep's team. But actually, I feel a bit better now they're out of the Champions League, Sam.
And they are, apart from Palace, the only team that we know definitely will have a double game week, because they still have that game that needs to be rescheduled. So I think Manchester City look like a really nice option. And, you know, I definitely will get to midfielders in a minute. I've got one of them in there for sure. And I do think let me guess. But I think, you know, players like O'Reilly, players that are fighting for seats on planes are really important, I think, for this year. And it's something that we don't normally have, obviously, in FPL. We only get it every other year with the Euros and the World Cup. But when players are fighting for a seat on a plane to a major tournament, that is a factor that we should consider, because they will want to end the season with seven really good performances to put themselves in the international shop window, for want of a better way of putting it. But also with O'Reilly for a starting spot in that England squad, so in that England team. So yeah, I'm with you on that. I think he's a really nice pick. And actually, when I look at the players that I've picked in the other positions, there's probably a case for having Virgil and O'Reilly, and because O'Reilly's not that expensive anyway in the game. Mm. So it's not like you have to go down to a 4.0 because you need it for the budget because you've spent so much money elsewhere. So yeah, I tend to agree with you. I do think he's a really nice buy. I've got Gehi, I'll probably just stick.
Mm. Matheus Nunes is also a good option. He's only 5.3, so just 0.3 more than O'Reilly, for example. He's got more points than O'Reilly this season. We said, I think last week or the week before, loads of bonus points because he's really a midfielder that plays at right back. But if that's the kind of player that you want, plus the potential, the one double for sure, maybe even two, I mean, we don't know yet. I think somebody like Nunes could be very interesting too.
Mm. Okay, then let's guess. I'm going to guess two of your defenders before we go any further. You both put Bruno Fernandes in.
Yeah, the midfielders, yeah.
I was hoping for a minute. I thought Jules was going to say no then. And I'm guessing, Sam, your city midfielder is going to be Antoine Semenyo.
Yeah, for sure. I just think the guy's been unbelievable, not just in the first half of the season at Bournemouth, but he's arrived at Man City and just been incredible. So yeah, the two of them, easy owns on a wild card. Or even if you're not, to be honest, they would be priority buys for me.
Jules, do you have him as well?
I sold them. No goals in five for Semenyo. I think he's gone off a little bit of the good form that we saw.
So you wouldn't have him on a wild card?
No, I probably would because it's City and because of the double. But But I just don't think he's a guaranteed points returner, really. He played the two games with Ghana, by the way, almost 90 minutes in both games. He was not very good either. I think if Haaland is not in the best form, I think part of the reason is the arrival of Semenyo. I'm not saying that Semenyo has made Haaland bad. I just think that Semenyo just attracts the ball so much. And when he has it, he's quite... I don't want to say bad words against Semenyo, but I think he thinks about shooting. He thinks about himself. He's not, for now, he's just not yet a City player in the way that usually City players play, you know, if you see what I mean. So I think it's a very, very interesting case for Semenyo. If you play your wild card and you need a City kind of attacker in that midfield, sure, no problem. I'm just saying that I think in the last few games, that's quite a long time now without a goal, by the way, for him. If you count the two Ghana games, that's 7 games in a row where he hasn't scored and at times not look like scoring either. So it's not like if he had massive chances and kept missing them and at some point we could say, okay, his XG is super high, he's going to come back and score, no problem. So I just, I'd be very interesting to see what happens in the next couple of weeks or so.
Okay, who else have you got in your midfield then, Jules?
I've got Harry Wilson because I think, again, when he's good, Fulham are good. He's the best thing in that team. They give him the ball all the time and he's got so much confidence now that he plays on a different level, clearly. So I've got Wilson there. I like the fact for the last 7 games, if you go a bit of a pun, really, and go for a Garner, Anderson or Rice, so one of those numbers, and they're different prices and things like that, but they're more or less in the same kind of bracket in terms of points so far this season, because you know what they'd be very good at. They're all on set pieces, pretty much. They're very good with DEFCONs. They do a lot of things in the game because they're very important for their... For their team, their respective teams. So Everton and Forest and Arsenal, obviously. And I think you're guaranteed at least 4 points, probably more between 4 and 8 each games. And I think even if you just look at Forest and they will have to fight to stay up, maybe Elliot Anderson is very good for that. So I've got one of them there. I think Gordon is in good form, although not for England, but for Newcastle lately. And I think his average... form, like his form is 9 something, so I think that's decent. So that's what I have, and then probably a Wirt maybe, because if he keeps the form that he had with Germany in this international break with Liverpool, he's going to be very good again.
Sam, how does your midfield look?
It's similar. I agree on Anderson. I had him as one of my picks. I think Forrest are exactly the sort of team you invest in. They've got something to fight for. He's guaranteed 4. He's going to get you 4 every week, so perfect. I'd say Szoboszlai there. I think he's been fantastic. In 2026 especially, the form has been really, really good from him on set pieces for Liverpool, and that makes a difference. And it does play out in the back of my head what Jules was saying before about the amount of competitions that Liverpool are still in and the fact that we might see some rotation, but I just think Szoboszlai is far too important to the way that they play. He gets used all over the pitch depending upon where they need him to be. He puts him there, so I like him as an option as well. I think it's then tough. Like for me, I had Bruno, Szoboszlai, Semenyo and Anderson, and then I spent ages looking at how I would go. And I think in the end, there's probably a final slot that's a bit movable, as in like that's probably the position that I would then use every week to just either invest in a doubling player, depending upon when the double game weeks land, or just invest in the teams that are heading into some form fixtures. Like I arguably having a Leeds midfielder in there, having somebody like Stach isn't a terrible option between now and the end of the season. That would probably be the slot where I'd pick an Arsenal player up ahead of double game weeks if they happen.
Okay.
The only thing I would say about Szoboszlai, because I've got him and I'm stressing, is that Frimpong picked up another injury. So there's no Frimpong for the next few weeks. And you can have Joe Gomez at right back, sure. You can have Curtis Jones maybe, but I think Slot loves having Szoboszlai there, especially when Frimpong is not there.
And means he's guaranteed 4 then, because he'll pick up DEFCON.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. But I would much rather him a bit higher up the pitch, obviously.
Okay, on to the forwards then. I think João Pedro is an interesting point of conversation here, because we didn't actually talk about him earlier, but Chelsea have gone down in that fixture ticket. They've gone down in form as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
Jules, will you hold him as one of your 3?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a guaranteed starter for them. It has to be. He's been their best player this season, probably with Caicedo and Chalobah maybe by far, and Enzo at times, but maybe not consistently enough for us. So I would keep João Pedro. I know it's been a bit tough for him lately. And again, with Brazil, he was not very good when he played in this international break, but he's the one that can make something happen. And Chelsea have to react. They have to bounce back. They can't stay in this poor form. The defeat against Everton before the break was a bad one. You expect them to beat Port Vale in the FA Cup on Saturday, and that will bring a bit of confidence, really. And then they go again in the league. They have to finish top five to qualify for the Champions League. It'd be a disaster if they don't. So you can expect that kind of mentality for them and the mission they're on it. And for that, João Pedro is really the best asset from Chelsea you could have.
Agree, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. I've got him now. I think I'll hold. Would I hold if I was wildcarding? I think I probably would. I think Thiago, Bowen, I think Bowen's a great pick between now and the end of the season. I think with West Ham needing to win games, their fixtures are decent. Bowen fighting for arguably for minutes in the England team in the summer. I think he's a really nice option. I guess the big question is, like, you can have Thiago, Bowen and João Pedro easily, but then you're not having Haaland. So I guess the question is, if we're wildcarding, is Haaland there or not? Because if he's not, everything's doable. If he is, then you have to make a sacrifice. And I think I'd prefer to lose João Pedro over Thiago and Bowen, given form and fixtures between now and the end of the season.
Yeah. But I knew you'd mention Bowen there. So, Jules, just confirm your three.
Personally, I would go for Igor Thiago, João Pedro and Haaland as the three. But there's something for Bowen. There's something for Welbeck, probably. Calvert-Lewin, we mentioned. You can go, especially if you're behind in your mini leagues and you need something a bit different. Just go for one of them for sure. And I think all three of them, Bowen at the top of it, then Welbeck, then Calvert-Lewin, are probably very good picks as well as differentials.
Sam looks so kind of sheepish when saying her forwards. You don't look convinced by them.
There's Ekitike as well, by the way. Let's not forget, 35% owned. That's a lot of ownership. If he scores...
One of which is me.
And scores a lot. Yeah. No,
will
no,
you
no.
keep and, him?
No. I'll go for a Liverpool. It depends what happens in the FA Cup as to whether I treble up, but I'll go for a Van Dijk plus probably a Wirtz just to be a little bit different, I think. I agree with what you're saying about Szoboszlai, but I think what Jules is saying is a big factor there, and I prefer the upside of Wirtz at this stage in the season when I'm chasing.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't love Szoboszlai when he's playing at right back, but he does have set pieces and he will get DEFCON from that position because he always gets DEFCON when he plays there.
I just think if you don't have either and you're on a wild card, then good. Maybe Wirtz, and if you want to kind of try and 100%. Go bigger. Yeah, that would be my thinking.
Yeah, I'd agree. The forwards are difficult though, Kels, I think. Like, that's why I look sheepish about
no.
it. Because
do
I honestly...
I'm also saying no to keeping Ekitike because I want the other two. But actually, when it comes to picking three forwards, I might in the end go, I don't know who else to have. So maybe I will have Ekitike just by kind of default.
I do think you have to look at the ESAC factor. Like, he's expected to be rejoining training this week. So if that's happening and he comes back in, we would expect some minutes from him. Ekitike does look like he probably has needed a rest with the amount of game time that he's played over the last few months in particular, because they haven't had anybody else that they can play there, and playing without him hasn't really worked for them either, because I don't think Gakpo in the number nine is great for them. Bowen and Thiago, I think, pick themselves. Then it's a conversation around, well, do you go for somebody like João Pedro, who has been fantastic this season but has dropped off a little bit of late, and the fixtures aren't, I mean, they're very mixed between now and the end of the season, the fixtures for Chelsea. Do you stick with Haaland? And I think for me, whether I go back to Haaland will solely depend on what happens with the FA Cup and whether they're likely to have two double game weeks. Because if they are, then maybe I have to have Haaland is the reality. And also, again, depending upon where it fits. Because if they get their double game week slot into a fixture that's nice, then I think we need to look at that as well.
What are the... I'm not asking you to predict everything here, and I know you don't know, but what, just confirm when we kind of would expect double game weeks, maybe.
So the FA Cup weekend clashes with game week 34. So that's when the blank game week will happen. Usually the doubles fit into game weeks 33 and 36, because those are the midweeks where we don't have European fixtures. Yeah. So they are the ones that are most likely to house any fixtures that need to be rescheduled. And so especially for the Manchester City and Crystal Palace game, I would expect it to slot into one of those 2 weeks, because Crystal Palace still have European football to play, even if Manchester City don't. So those are the two game weeks that are most likely. However, if the two teams are both out of Europe, then it's possible that the 34 match could actually still be rescheduled into game week 34. So that's why what happens this weekend with the FA Cup is so important for wildcarders, because actually we should know, even if we don't know exactly where things are being rescheduled, we will know the games that are going to be affected in 34 and whether they can stay there or not. Because obviously the preference will always be to roughly keep it where it is, because that's helpful for the fans traveling to games and all of that sort of stuff. So keeping it in 34 is ideal. It just shuffles it back into the midweek that follows. But if you have got teams playing in Europe, it can't do that because that clashes with the European round.
Okay, well, this time next week, hopefully we're going to have so much, or we will, won't we? We'll know so much more about who's progressed into the FA Cup. So keep an eye on the games this weekend. They're taking place on Saturday and Sunday. We'll be back, as usual, next Thursday. No Off the Bench, of course, on Monday. No fantasy TV show this week as well, because there is no Premier League football. But normal service resumes next week with us being back on Thursday and the fantasy show back on Friday. And then we'll be in to the final run-in. Thanks, as always, to Jules and Sam. We'll see you next week, guys.